This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. In the November 4th general election, Seattle citizens will be asked to vote on Seattle Transportation Proposition 1, a Seattle-only transportation measure to fund bus service. Proposition 1 funds bus routes through a 0.1% sales tax and a $60 car tab fee, both of which expire in 6 years. The majority of the funding would be used to prevent the planned service cuts and restructures scheduled for 2015. What are the implications for public transportation and the Seattle community if Proposition 1 passes, and what are the implications if it fails? To help answer these questions, I have as my guest Rob Johnson, Executive Director of the Transportation Choices Coalition, a nonprofit that is part of Yes for Seattle Transit, a campaign that urges a yes vote on Proposition 1. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, Diane.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Transportation Choices Coalition?
Our mission at Transportation Choices is to make it easier for residents of Washington State to get around without needing a car. And we do that mostly by advocating for more resources for biking, walking, and transit, through policy solutions to make it easier for us to use alternative modes of transportation, and through education of people about how they could get access to those different ways of getting around.
Why do we need a measure to fund bus service? What is the purpose of Proposition 1?
Well, Seattle residents really care about our economy, our environment, and our quality of life. And the common thread through all those things is a really strong transit and transportation network. Unfortunately, the economic scenario that we're in right now is causing King County Metro to contemplate significant bus cuts in Seattle in 2015, impacting tens of thousands of riders and cutting almost 50 bus routes in the city of Seattle, either eliminating those routes or reducing them significantly. So this measure would use Seattle resources to buy back those bus hours and keep the transit service that we've got now on the street.
What exactly does Proposition 1 propose?
It proposes to raise a 1/10 sales tax, as you mentioned, and a $60 car tab fee to do three major things. The first is to buy back all those planned bus hours from being cut in 2015 to keep the transit service that we've got in Seattle at its current levels. The second thing is it puts some funding into a regional partnership pool so that if other cities, Kirkland, Mercer Island, Kent, Renton, were to step up and say, we want to preserve bus service in our city, but it's connecting to the city of Seattle, the city would have resources to partner with those other local cities to save bus service in their communities as well. And the third thing it does, which is probably the most important, is it improves access for low-income folks to ride bus services in the city of Seattle. And there's a variety of ways that the city is discussing how it could improve access, including buying low fare and access to the low-income fare that the King County Council has just recently adopted, and then also to potentially buy additional vouchers for no-income folks or very, very low-income folks. So I think it's a very fair and balanced and well-considered proposal, and we're part of a large campaign of folks that are urging a yes vote.
How is Seattle Proposition 1 different from the King County Proposition 1, which was defeated in the election last spring?
The Seattle measure uses the same taxing sources and is effectively exactly the same thing that Seattle citizens voted on in April, with two major exceptions. The first is that this is a transit-only measure. The April measure was 60% transit and 40% roads. This is a Seattle-only measure and a transit-only measure. And the other big difference is, of course, the last measure was opposed by suburban folks outside the city of Seattle, but supported significantly within the city. We had 2/3 of Seattle residents vote yes on the April measure. So we think that the taxing sources and the plan to use those monies to prevent bus service cuts are something that Seattle citizens will support again.
Well, in a sense, you've alluded to this, but in your view, why did the transportation measure submitted to voters last spring fail?
Yeah, we had a really good plan. We thought we had a good campaign. And what we found in the course of talking to voters after the April election was that suburban folks just didn't like the taxing sources and they didn't like how they were being used. Seattle residents strongly supported the measure by a 66% margin. And we were opposed by about 66% everywhere else but the city of Seattle. So in King County, that resulted in a loss, but we are really confident that with a Seattle-only, transit-only measure on the ballot, we can determine for ourselves the right level of transit service that Seattle needs, and we hope people will vote yes.
Would you say more about where the current plans for bus cuts stand?
So King County has released just this week a list of the planned bus routes that will be cut in February of 2015, and as part of their budget process in November, we'll be adopting additional cuts for June and September of 2015. In all, that's around 45 or so bus routes that are planned to be cut or reduced within the city of Seattle. And some of the folks that we work with are really hoping that we have enough revenue to stave off those cuts and, in addition, buy back some of the cuts that are happening this September. The proposal in front of voters right now would only buy back all the bus hours that are going to be cut in 2015, but there are some cuts that are happening as we speak in September of 2014, and our hope is to be able to generate enough revenue to buy back that service as well.
How were the proposed cuts to Metro service decided? What were the criteria for the routes that are being proposed to be cut?
Yeah, Metro's service guidelines are very specific about the way that they determine which bus routes need to be cut, and they're based on three major factors. It's basically the bus ridership, with the transit professionals' term productivity. There's a second factor, which is about geography, so making sure that the bus cuts are equitably felt throughout the region. And then the third is around social equity, which ensures that the bus cuts that happen don't disproportionately affect low-income folks and people of color. So the bus cuts scenario that Metro has put forward and that the county council has adopted tries to stave off as many cuts as it can, but unfortunately, we're just in a scenario where we're looking at cuts. And our measure is responding to that by asking Seattle voters to tax themselves to save bus service in the city of Seattle.
How good a job was done to protect low-income citizens, in your view?
I think that the social equity element of the Metro service cuts is a very important issue that has not gotten enough traction. The way that Metro has gone around defining social equity has a lot of room for improvement, we think. And they want to do a very good job of protecting low-income folks and have done an amazing thing by implementing this low-income fare. And I think that the low-income fare, Metro will be the second large transit agency in the country to implement a low-income fare, which will effectively mean that as bus fares increase over the next couple of years, that anyone who makes 200% of the poverty level or below will be eligible for this low-income fare. So when we think about the access to transit for low-income folks, this low-income fare is going to do a great job of helping to make sure that we've got great access and opportunity and not putting growth or retraction of that service on the backs of low-income people. Our measure would put $2 million towards increasing access to that low-income fare. And we're still working out the details of what that would look like, but there's a couple of different options, including allowing low-income folks to be eligible to receive the low-income fare at city service locations, to put more money into human service organizations to distribute low-income fares. So we're really trying to make sure that as we consider this proposal, all socioeconomic folks are taken into account. And in particular, we're doing everything we can to preserve access for low-income folks.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Rob Johnson, Executive Director of the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is Seattle Transportation Proposition 1, a Seattle-only transportation measure to fund bus service. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. You mentioned the low-income fare, but would you also speak about equity in terms of where the buses actually go and the network?
We talk to a lot of folks that are riding transit, and when you look at the transit service and the people who ride transit, it's a really broad spectrum of our population. About 10 to 12% of Metro transit riders are students. Another 15 to 20% are folks who have either no car or come from a one-car household. So There are definitely folks who have other means of getting around, but there's a significant population who ride the bus that use it as a lifeline. So when we are out talking to people about this measure, we're talking about access for the elderly, we're talking about access for students, but we're also talking about a lot of the big businesses who really rely on Metro to get people back and forth. The University of Washington, downtown employers, major employers throughout the city of Seattle really rely on Metro bus service to get their employees to and from work. So it's an issue that doesn't just affect low-income riders, students, and seniors, but is also affecting the workforce.
Would you say a few words about your Transit for All project?
Sure. One of the great things about transportation choices is that we've spent a lot of time mapping the impacts that bus service will have on our community. And Transit for All is an attempt for us to really do a good job of defining the bus impacts on low-income folks and students throughout the region. What we did through Transit for All is we found a way to really identify a couple of key places we saw as key transit deserts, for lack of a better term, and used some resources to map where those deserts occur, either for students or for access to healthcare, and partnering with our social justice partners at Puget Sound Sage and One America, have been really spending a lot of time educating folks about how they could get involved in the transit decision-making process and really have their voice be heard about how to save bus service in their communities.
Going back now to the funding being proposed in Proposition 1, why were the sales tax and car tab fee chosen as the sources of funding?
The City Council spent a lot of time debating tax revenues as part of this measure. And the overwhelming response from City Council seemed to be, we know that the citizens of the city of Seattle support these taxing sources. April's measure, though it failed countywide, passed with 66% of the vote in the city of Seattle. That is a huge win margin in Seattle, and so we really have confidence that the citizens of Seattle understand the value of their transit service and understand that this money was going to be used in the right way to fund transit service. So that's, I think, the way that the revenue sources got chosen. There was some discussion about some other revenue sources, but ultimately the 110 sales tax and the $60 car tab is what the council chose to put on the ballot this November.
And again, how much would the measure raise?
The measure raises about $40 million a year, give or take, somewhere between $40 and $45 million, depending on the projections of sales tax growth and how many people are registering cars in the city of Seattle. And the lion's share of that revenue will basically go to keep the bus service we have on the streets today, in addition to the two other things I mentioned before, which is spending a couple of millions of dollars on access for low-income riders, and then spending a couple million dollars a year on regional partnerships, so connecting with other cities about how to preserve their bus service.
Would you say more about the regional partnerships? The suburbs voted against the measure.
Right. There was one other city outside of the city of Seattle that voted yes. Thank you to my friends in Lake Forest Park for your yes vote last April. But there have been a couple of cities that have expressed an interest in preservation of their existing service. I think 8 or 9 have already approached the county council and talked about how they could potentially buy service. But many of those jurisdictions are looking to the city of Seattle and this vote in November to be a bellwether about whether or not they should go to their own voters and ask them to raise revenue. I think we will end up seeing some regional partnerships form with some East King County and South King County, and potentially even Shoreline or Lake Forest Park would be in the mix as well. But right now, I think everybody wants to see if the city of Seattle will vote yes. And if it does, then I think we'll start to see other cities step up to the plate.
What will be the result if Proposition 1 doesn't pass?
Unfortunately, what it means is that we'll be cutting 45 bus routes in the city of Seattle, either eliminating them altogether or reducing their routes. If you're, like me, a resident of the North End, you'll see significant impacts. My bus service right now is the 71, 72, and 73 series buses. The 72 bus is eliminated altogether. The 71 bus will only run on weekdays and will stop running on the weekends. And all of those buses will move from where they are right now to about 4 blocks further west of where they are. So those kinds of restructures that will happen all throughout the city if people vote no it's going to result in tens of thousands of Metro riders having a different experience than they have today. And with such a large portion of Metro riders having access to a car at home, we think it will result in thousands of cars back on the roads at a time when, you know, as the economy booms and we're the fastest growing city in the country, we think it's inconsistent with our values to be cutting back on transit service. And we're hearing that from a lot of people when we go out and talk on the campaign trail.
How will low-income citizens be affected, most likely?
I think that that's a primary concern of us on the campaign is how do we make sure that we preserve this access for those who have no other way to get around or who use transit as a way for them to get to the first rung on the economic ladder. For King County as a whole, about 25% of the county's population would be eligible for the low-income fare that I spoke about earlier. So folks who make 200% of the poverty level or less. For an individual, that's about $24,000 a year. For a family of four, that's about $45,000 a year. It's a huge statement on the income inequality that we're having as a county who's getting wealthier and wealthier, but also not doing a great job of pulling up the lower classes into a middle class. And we're really concerned that cutting bus service will have a major impact on economic opportunity for low-income folks. When I go out and talk to people who rely on bus service as part of a swing shift, who work downtown, cleaning hotel rooms, they're going to have to find taxi ride services or shared taxi services. It's going to be much more expensive for those folks to try to get to and from work, particularly as we cut the overnight service. So we're very concerned about the impact that bus cuts will have on low-income folks and really hoping that Seattle voters are going to vote yes so that we can do everything we can to keep the bus service that we've got.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Rob Johnson, Executive Director of the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is Seattle Transportation Proposition 1, a Seattle-only transportation measure to fund bus service. How will bus service be affected if Proposition 1 passes? What series of steps will take place?
Right. So if things go according to our plan on November 4th, the city would very quickly enter into agreement with the county to buy back all of the service that's planned to be cut in 2015. And effectively, the bus routes that we all know and love today in the city of Seattle, very few of them will have changed. There will be some bus cuts that will happen this month in September of 2014. Our hope is that as the economy continues to grow and the city gets additional resources from these taxing sources, that maybe we'd be able to go back and buy back some of that bus service that's getting cut this year. The city council has also identified that they're interested in using any excess revenue to decrease overcrowding in bus routes in the city of Seattle. So there are some options available to us if suddenly we find ourselves in a windfall to be able to grow the transit service that is on the street today. But primarily, if we pass this measure, the bus routes that we know and love will stay the bus routes we know and love in the city of Seattle.
What would you say to those who claim that Metro should become more efficient and cut costs before we raise taxes to support service?
I think that the efficiency argument is something that we've heard a lot. The executive of King County, who's in charge of the bus service, Dow Constantine, just did a big national review of King County Metro by transit agency general managers from around the country. And they came in and made some suggestions about some efficiency improvements that are getting implemented. The executive also announced a big integration plan between Metro and Sound Transit on some long-range planning issues, as well as some short-term service delivery projects. So what we're seeing, I think, is an increase in efficiency. But generally, if you look at Metro as an agency, it continues to get high marks from the state auditor's office, which is not an easy thing to do. It had its own performance audit several years ago. All of those issues that were identified by the auditors were implemented. It's an unfortunate situation that we're in, but Metro's had a lot of peer reviews and has been found by its peers around the country to be a very efficient service. And now we're hoping to reward that efficiency by having Seattle voters vote yes.
What would you say to those who believe that fares should be increased to cover service costs?
Well, the fares have been increased. When I started at Transportation Choices 10 years ago, the base fare was about a dollar less than it is today. So we have had on almost a 100% increase of the fare for bus riders over the last decade. There's one more fare increase planned for next year. That would take us to one of the highest fares in the country. And there is a huge impact that that has on low-income folks. And that's why I think the county and the executive has been really taking such a great leadership role in this low-income fare implementation task force. So our position has been riders are paying their fair share, and they are going to continue to pay more with the planned fare increases over the next couple of years. But you also have to remember, about 90% of Metro riders have a car at home. They have access to another way of getting around. So those same folks are also paying their car tab. They're also shopping at stores, paying sales taxes. So riders are paying not just when they get on the bus, but they're also paying in other ways.
What groups are supporting Proposition 1 as part of the Yes for Seattle Transit campaign?
We've got a wonderfully broad array of endorsers early for the campaign, and that includes business groups like the Seattle Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Seattle Association, and several others. We've got a long list of labor endorsers, including the Martin Luther King County Labor Council, as well as, of course, the Transit Drivers Union and the Professional and Technical Engineers and several others. We've got a lot of great environmental organizations like King County Conservation Voters, Transportation Choices, FutureWise, and several others. And then most importantly, I think we've gotten a lot of really great support from social justice organizations. So groups like Puget Sound Sage and One America, the Washington Bus, have all been very involved with the campaign and are very supportive. So it's a broad array of endorsers. So far, knock on wood, nobody has come forward to be the voiced opposition for the campaign. So we're running a very positive campaign and getting the word out to folks to make sure that they know that we're the last thing on the ballot this year. And you want to find your way all the way down to Seattle Transportation Proposition 1.
What is the likelihood Seattle Transportation Proposition 1 will pass?
I think it's pretty good. We've got a really strong campaign team. We've got a lot of endorsers. We're working really hard to create some good visibility. One of the, I think, hallmarks of this campaign that has made it a little bit different is we've already had people find us. So if you're a bus rider in West Seattle and you see that your bus is about to get cut, it motivates you to get out and do something. And so we've had people call the office and say, I want to volunteer to be a bus route captain to tell my fellow bus riders that my bus is going to get cut and that they should vote yes to preserve the buses that we have on the street. So with those kinds of upswell of grassroots support, we really think we've got a pretty good shot in November.
To what extent would Proposition 1 affect a state transportation package?
The state transportation conversations have really languished over the last couple of years. In 2013 and 2014, there was a lot of discussions in Olympia about a possible state revenue package. It didn't end up materializing for a whole variety of reasons. And the state legislators that I talked to seem very focused on making sure that 2015 is an education-focused year because of the Supreme Court's recent decision. So we're not expecting a big transportation revenue discussion to happen again for the next couple of years. However, with that in context, I would say that there's a great history over the last 10 or 15 years of these local decisions and the state decisions being very connected. So local decisions in support of transit systems or in support of road building projects have tended to increase the likelihood of a state conversation about transportation revenue and vice versa. So our hope is that by passing the Seattle measure, we create a sense of confidence amongst the state legislature that they can step up and do the hard things to help keep our state infrastructure in good repair.
In your view, what is the best approach to long-term funding for bus service?
Well, this is, as you mentioned in the intro, a short-term fix. This is a measure that expires in 6 years. So if Seattle voters vote yes, we're preserving the bus service that we've got, but we're only preserving it until 2020. The hope there is to keep the pressure on Olympia to try to come up with a more long-term sustainable funding source that is a regional approach as opposed to just a city of Seattle approach. The bus system is a regional system. We want it to stay a regional system. And I think this vote gives Seattle voters a chance to reinforce how important transit is for our community, but doesn't get Olympia off the hook. There's a lot of different ways that other cities, counties, and states fund transit service. The state has looked at a couple of different options, including using some toll revenue to fund transit service, including bringing back the motor vehicle excise tax to fund transit service. I've heard some legislators talk about a tax that drivers would pay based on the amount of miles that they drive on their car every year. So I think that there's a variety of different options that are being discussed, and we're just really hoping to generate a positive conversation that'll get some legislators in Olympia engaged on how we can find a long-term funding source.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That we really think that Seattle Transportation Prop 1 is the most important thing on your ballot, and it's the last thing on your ballot. So make sure when you get those ballots in the middle of October that you find your way all the way to the end and you check yes, and then you go back up to the beginning and you start working your way back down to the end of the ballot. It's a wonderful opportunity to show the residents of the city of Seattle and our leadership how much we care about transit and value it as a community, and we really hope people are going to vote yes.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Rob.
Thank you, Diane.
You are just listening to Rob Johnson, Executive Director of the Transportation Choices Coalition. For more information, check on the web at yesforseattletransit.org. Again, that's yesforseattletransit.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM and kexp.org.